Now, there is a Reuben in the Bible. He doesn't feature loads and loads, but it's enough to take a look at him and to see what we can about his life. We can read in Genesis chapter 29, verse 32. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and she named him Reuben. Reuben was the firstborn to parents Jacob and Leah, and Leah loved him very much. The name Reuben means behold a son, for Reuben had longed, for Reuben had been a longed for child. Rich and Em are in the room, I can't see them. But and whilst I'm sure, though, that Rich and Em would have been equally as excited with and doting over another girl in their ranks, a baby brother for Izzy carries a certain symmetry, doesn't it? We often have this thing about, oh, it's nice to have a boy and a girl. If you've got two girls or two boys, that's equally wonderful, but you know what I'm saying. And so you can imagine that sense of, oh, behold a son. Reuben in the Bible might not be all that famous, but his kid brother went by the name of Joseph and had a coat of many colours. And perhaps we will all have heard of him. Reuben was one of 12 brothers. Richie got a bit of work to do. had one sister, poor girl. And it says that Reuben was perhaps the most honourable among all of his brothers. He was arguably more thoughtful and a good deal kinder than his brothers. If you know the story of Joseph, his brothers didn't like him very much, and they concocted a plan to kill him and get him out of the way. Why didn't they like him? Why did they want to kill him? Well, Joseph was a bit of a dreamer, and he dreamed about his family bowing down to worship him. He was also his dad's favourite child, and he swanned about in that coat of many colours. So they really didn't like him at all and made a plan to kill him. Yet it was Reuben that taught them out of it. Reuben taught them out of it. Genesis chapter 37, verse 17 to 22, it says this. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. His brothers had gone out looking after the animals, and Jacob, their dad, sent Joseph, go and find your brothers. And so he sets off out to go and look for them. Verse 18, they saw him in the distance, and before he had reached them, they plotted to kill him. Oh, here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns, like a great big well, and say that a ferocious animal came and devoured him, and then we'll see what comes of his dreams. When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. Let's not take his life, he said. Don't shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him. Reuben said this so as to rescue him from them and take him home to his father. And Reuben's plan was that they would maybe kind of drop him in there, and later on he could go and pull him out and take him home to his dad. Reuben, as it were, got in the way. There was a horrible plan being made to get rid of him, and Reuben got in the way with a kinder plan, a rescue plan. Yet as the story goes by and the story carries on, Reuben went back to the well to rescue him and to take him home, only to find that Joseph had gone. The rest of his brothers had pulled him out when he wasn't there and sold him as a slave into Egypt. Rich and Em, you will no doubt want Reuben to grow up to be honourable, to be kind, to be thoughtful and compassionate. Someone who gets in the way and fights for injustice and to rescue people from persecution. As you have vowed today, you vowed to be a good example to him, to model to him what it is that you want to see in him. Many of you promised us, church, to do likewise, to support them in that task. We want him to grow up knowing the difference between right and wrong, the courage to step forward and to put that into practice. But we can't control whether or not that's going to happen. We can model it, we can pray for it, but we can't control every piece on the board. You see, Reuben went back and Joseph had gone. Years later in the story of Joseph, Joseph now finds himself essentially in charge of Egypt. Famine was on its way. Joseph made a plan that in years of plenty, they should store up the food so that in the years of famine, no one would go without. Joseph was trusted for this. He was put in charge of making it happen, and he's now in charge of Egypt, but not just in charge of the food supply for Egypt, but in charge of all the food for all the surrounding and neighboring countries all around. And that given Reuben's family, his father Jacob, his own family, the family of all of his brothers are all starving, they head to Egypt in search of food. Once they get to Egypt, they meet Joseph, the ruler, again. But they don't recognize him. I mean, they think he's probably dead and long gone. They sold him as a slave. Very difficult to imagine him now as in charge of Egypt, as the one that they're standing before going, please, can we have some food? The Bible tells us that Joseph sets them various tests in order to prove that they are trustworthy. And one of the tests that they are set is to bring their youngest brother, Benjamin, to Egypt. Now, Jacob, their dad, doesn't want Benjamin to go. He is still heartbroken that he lost Joseph. He thinks that Joseph is dead. They took his colorful coat, covered in blood, back to him. He thinks he's dead. The thought of now losing their youngest son weighs heavy on his mind. You're not taking Benjamin to Egypt. I know we're starving, and I know that's what the ruler wants, but you're not taking him. Who steps forward but Reuben? He knows they're not going to get any food that they need unless they take Benjamin to Egypt. He knows how frightened his dad is at the thought of losing another son. And so Reuben makes this incredible statement. Genesis 42, verse 37. Then Reuben said to his father, "You may put both of my sons to death if I do not bring him back to you. Entrust him to my care, and I will bring him back." Reuben has grown up to be a man who is prepared to take huge responsibility. He doesn't say, put my sons to death if I don't bring him back, because his sons don't matter to him. He loves his sons. He's going to get food for them to eat. He loves his sons very much, but he offers them up. Trust me, Dad, he says. Trust me. I'm going to bring Benjamin home. I will do this. I will bring Ben home. This is how sure I am. This is how much responsibility I'm prepared to take. Reuben is a man of conviction and responsibility. Emin Rich, my prayer for you is that Reuben grows up to not only be kind and compassionate, not only someone who stands up for injustice and doing what is right, but someone who is a man of conviction and not afraid to take responsibility. But Reuben in the Bible was not perfect. In fact, he made a number of mistakes in his life. We can read that he committed a crime that in those days was punishable by death. It's not important this morning what he did. You can read about it in Genesis 35 if you really want to, but it's not that important for this morning. But what is important is to see that whilst he had many good and noble qualities, and many admirable qualities that we would want to see in all of us, he wasn't perfect. Rich and Em, if you haven't figured it out already, well, Reuben is a lovely boy with a wonderful smile, but he isn't perfect, for none of us are. We tend to look at babies and think that they're perfect. We tend to think that they're wonderful, they're incredible. And then as they get older, we start to see their imperfections coming out, don't we? The tantrums, the unexpected things. It's why your vows this morning are so important, because you're going to encourage him. You're going to set an example. You're going to love him. You're going to provide for him, but you can't determine the life that he will lead. You can dedicate yourselves as his parents to the task, but you can't dedicate him to God, for that is not up to you. I'm a parent of a 12 and a 15-year-old. I can tell you that parenting is a roller coaster. Sometimes they will surprise you with great compassion and generosity. Sometimes they will make us take a stand, even with their friends, for things that are right risk losing their friends in the process. Other times they will do things that you simply just don't expect, and then sometimes they will do things and you wish you could turn the clock back, that they might make a different choice. But it doesn't stop you loving them. It doesn't stop you setting a good example, and it certainly doesn't stop you praying for them. It's just a reminder of how much they need you to do all those things. Reuben will not grow up Reuben will no doubt grow up rich to do things that will test you, stretch you. He will no doubt do things and say things that will cause you to question everything, because he's not perfect. But neither are you, for neither are any of us. So that's why this morning that you vowed to tell him about Jesus. And we said we would support them in that. If I said the name Luke Littler, do you know who I'm talking about? Well, you do, that kind of 16-year-old darts player who made the final of the World Championships. I have pretty much zero interest in darts. But yet this kid caught the imagination of the nation, didn't he? This kind of 16-year-old, been kind of practicing darts since wearing his nappies. What a thing, what an incredible thing. His composure under pressure is astonishing. But in darts, if you're aiming for the bullseye to win the match and you hit the outer ball, it's a decent effort, but you've still lost. You've still lost by 25 points. It's not that you're suddenly terrible at darts, that you hit the outer ball and not the bullseye. It's just that you didn't quite hit the mark. When the Bible talks about sin, the best way to describe sin is to miss the mark. You could argue that Reuben, the brother of Joseph, son of Jacob, well, he hit the outer ball. He wasn't a terrible person. We've read that he was kind and compassionate. He was honourable. That he stood up and took responsibility. That he understood what those things meant. He wasn't terrible, but he missed the mark. Admirable in many things, but not perfect. I think that might be a good description for all of us, or most of us, or perhaps at least we hope that it might. Not terrible. We hope to have been found to be good and kind, honourable, compassionate in many things. But we know we're not perfect. We've not been perfect. We know we've made mistakes. We've missed the mark on something at least. Rich and Em, when Reuben does something wrong, don't judge him harshly. Help him to see what he has done wrong and why it matters, and then show as much grace as you possibly can. Exercise compassion and understanding. Stand in the way, as it were, as the Reuben of the Bible did for his younger brother. And then tell him about Jesus, who came to save him and all of us. For we're not terrible, but we've missed the mark. We've done lots of honourable and good things, but we're not perfect. Reuben wanted to do the right thing and take Joseph home to his father, but ultimately he couldn't, because when he went back for him, he wasn't there. He was too late. Jesus wants to take us home to his Father in heaven too. The Bible says that Jesus has gone to the Father to prepare a place for us, and he is able, for he took responsibility for our lives. We sung this morning about the cross. Jesus died on a cross to take responsibility for our sin, so as to one day take us home to the Father. Why? Because we're not terrible, but we've missed the mark. We've done lots of good and honourable and kind and compassionate things, but we've also done some things that if we could turn the clock back, we might have done differently, because we've missed the mark. We hit the outer ball. We didn't quite get it right. So Jesus died. His death was the punishment for our sins, not his own, but ours. Rich and Em, when Reuben does things that he shouldn't, think about yourself as much as you think about him. Help him work his way out of it. Work his way through it. And point him to Jesus, who will eternally forgive him for it. For Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the world for each of us. So that each of us, when we say, I have missed the mark in this, he's not saying, I am terrible, I am hopeless, I am the worst of the worst, but I'm not perfect. I've done stuff wrong, I've missed the mark, somewhere I missed it. And so Jesus paid the price so as to make us good enough, because we needed him to make us good enough. Richard M. encouraged him to take responsibility for his life and ask for forgiveness when he has got stuff wrong, to receive the grace of God when he offers that repentance, then to commit his own life to following and walking with Jesus. You are thankful for him, and we give thanks with you for him. We pray with you that one day he will commit his own life to Jesus, in the knowledge that he has been wonderfully forgiven, forgiven for all of the times when he didn't quite hit the mark. But the prayer is not just for Reuben, the prayer is for all of us, isn't it? It doesn't matter whether there's a date in your life where one day you were christened or dedicated or somebody thanked God for you or whatever it was. That doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. Knowing that you've missed the mark and coming to Jesus to forgive you, that's what saves you. For some, it's while we're young. For others, it's while we're older. But the root of it is the same for all of us. We've not quite made the mark. This is the stuff that I've got wrong, Lord. That's why you died for me. Please, will you forgive me? That's a prayer that one day in Reuben's life we hope that he makes. But it's also a prayer that we hope and need that all of us make. Not terrible, but I know I'm not perfect. Please, Lord, will you forgive me for those things? Help me to follow you. Help me to trust you for all the days of my life. Let me pray, and then we're going to sing again. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he came to stand in the way. Thank you that he came because he was kind and compassionate. Thank you that he came because he was faithful and mighty. Thank you that he came because he was able to save us. Father, we thank you for the life of Reuben all those years ago, brother of Joseph and Benjamin. Thank you for the times when he tried to do the right thing. Thank you for the times when he took responsibility. Thank you for the times when he took the plight of his family seriously. Lord, I thank you that we also see the times when he didn't quite get it right. The times when he chose the wrong thing. Because it shows us too that, yeah, God used him even though he'd failed. God uses us. God wants to use us even though we have failed. Even though we've missed the mark. We've got the outer ball when we're meant for the bullseye. We're not perfect. But none of us are. And so, Father, I pray for Reuben as he grows up that he would see just how loved and cherished he is, in spite of the fact that he is not perfect, but that he would confess his sins to you and know the power and the wonder of your grace and forgiveness upon his life through the act of Jesus on the cross, and that he would commit his own life to following you. Father, I pray for all of us, as young or as old as we are, that we would see our need of you as a saviour, for we're not quite perfect. See that that's why you died, and that's what makes the cross an act of brutality so wonderful and so glorious. That we would confess our sins to you, for that is the reason why you died. Then we would commit our lives to you as our wonderful Lord and Saviour. I pray that for Reuben, and I pray that for all of us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.